While many people stay at home during the COVID-19 pandemic, employees in essential businesses are still showing up for work. Beyond the healthcare workers on the front lines, they include grocery workers, mail carriers, delivery drivers, home health aides, and others. They've been getting a lot of praise on social media, but our guest says it's time to think about how we compensate them, too. Over the last month, she's talked with essential workers in several states about what they want and broke down some models for providing them with hazard pay and other benefits. Molly Kinder is a Rubenstein Fellow at the Brookings Institution in Washington, D.C., where her research focuses on lower-wage workers. Molly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, you talked to a lot of people, as I mentioned, in different essential lines of work. What kind of messages did you hear from them? First of all, just about how they're feeling being out there in the midst of this pandemic.
Right. So over the last few weeks, I've talked to a whole range of workers, from grocery store cashiers to custodians in hospitals, to dietary technicians in nursing homes, to gig workers who are showing up at people's homes and bringing them groceries and meals. And the truth is, most of the people I've talked to are afraid. And mostly they're afraid about what this could mean for infecting their families and getting their loved ones sick. And some of them, frankly, don't feel they are prepared with the right equipment, from masks to gloves, to really feeling safe in their workplaces. So a lot of them do feel that they are contributing, and they do feel that they are helping the country at this important time. But at the same time, a lot of them are, frankly, pretty terrified.
Can you talk about the rates of pay for some of those fields of work you just listed there?
Yeah, so I've been really focusing on workers who make lower than the median wage, so lower wages. And I've talked to workers who make as little as $9 an hour to be a home health aide and care for elderly residents who are really vulnerable to this virus. A lot of workers who are making $11, $12, $13 an hour. And it's a real struggle for them, especially at a time when their family members are sometimes getting laid off. And so they're trying to survive as households on very small paychecks. And they're risking their lives for very little money. And one of the big things that have come out of my conversations is really the fact that a large percent of the essential workers who are keeping our country together and keeping us alive are doing this for not even the dignity of a family-sustaining living wage.
Let's get to the subject of hazard pay. And to introduce it, I want to bring in one of the voices you heard from. You shared parts of some of your conversations with these workers. I want to give a listen to Amber Stevens, a 30-year-old grocery cashier. Here's a listen to some what she had to say about extra compensation.
I think that everybody should be covered with hazard pay if they have to go out and work in these times. But honestly, I don't think you can put a number on how much is enough, because we're risking ourselves as well to help others. You know, so how can you really put a number on my life, my health?
Now, how did what Amber had to say there line up, Molly, with what you heard from other workers when it came to this subject of should they be being paid more during this hazardous time for them?
What Amber said was fairly universal to all the workers I spoke to. Everyone felt that in these times, the risk that they were taking and the fact that a lot of their jobs had become a lot harder, grocery store workers with busy lines, more physically demanding jobs, they really felt like in this time they should be compensated extra. There was a universal call for hazard pay. It's hard to figure out exactly how much that hazard pay should be. As Amber was saying, like, really, what is people's lives worth? My personal point of view is that everyone in America who is showing up as an essential worker and risking his or her life for the rest of us, at a bare minimum, deserve a living wage. And I think we could go even further and pay people 50% more, even in some cases 100% more.
We're talking to Molly Kinder from the Brookings Institution about the idea of hazard pay for essential workers, people who are showing up at various jobs, grocery store clerks, home health care workers, many others being exposed to the illness, worried about bringing it home to their families. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you? Are you having to show up at a workplace where you are being exposed potentially to the virus that causes COVID-19? Are you getting paid a little extra, a lot extra? Do you think you should be? If you're not, call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Molly, as we heard, it's difficult to put a number on things, but you, in a chart in your piece on this, looked at some different options. And actually, some places, local governments, stores, and others are doing some kind of hazard pay or bonuses. What kind of things are we seeing out there in the real world with this right now?
So in the private sector, some of the companies that are needing to hire because business is booming, and that's primarily in grocery stores, in pharmacies like CVS, in big box retailers like Walmart, and in places like Amazon, where our consumer spending is really increasingly going to these stores. A lot of them are offering small increases. So the standard seems to be about an additional $2 an hour for some of this work. But that's not universal. So, for instance, pizza companies that are seeing huge booms in interest in pizza delivery, fast food, a lot of these companies, there's no additional pay whatsoever. Hospitals, home health workers, the folks who are cleaning the hospital rooms for sick patients, a lot of them are not seeing any pay increases at all, despite the risks. There are some leading cities and states that have taken it to providing a little bit of extra pay for their own city employees who are risking their lives. So, for instance, the city of Atlanta has a monthly bonus to some of their essential employees, and the state of Maryland as well. I just saw that the state of Vermont is considering implementing their own version of hazard pay to not only state and public employees, but to everyone. But that's really the exception.
You've also looked at, and I think this is talking to grocery store workers in particular, not just the pay issue, but the protection issue. You touched on that briefly a little earlier. What did you hear from grocery workers about whether they feel enough is being done, given that it's in some stores changing from day to day?
I mean, I think that is the headline, especially in grocery. I started talking to grocery workers 4 weeks ago, and I've kept in touch with them, and it's amazing how quickly things are changing. And to the credit for a lot of employers, they've really scrambled to figure out how do we keep our workers safer. So you've seen, you know, limitations on how many customers are in the store and spacing throughout the store. I think it was Safeway was the first company to announce putting up these plexiglass shields to protect cashiers. I don't think these measures are yet going far enough. It's devastating to see the numbers of grocery workers who've already perished, along with workers like bus drivers who are perishing in large numbers. So some of the grocery store workers, for instance, told me, well, it's great that we have these plexiglass shields, but they're so small, customers are simply just moving to the right. So I think I credit employers for working quickly to figure out ways to make workplaces safer. But to be honest, given the numbers of people who are contracting the virus and who are dying, we probably need to go a lot further.
We heard from some people on the Ideas Network Facebook page. James writes, I'm happy just to be working and still be able to pay my bills. A lot of people are not that lucky. James goes on, the only ones that should get paid more are hospital and nursing home staff. So I've seen that reaction from some other people, too. Glad to have a job, not so worried about the hazard pay. Is that something you encountered at all?
I haven't heard that from the people who feel like their lives are really at risk. So for some of the folks who are in these jobs where really they are either because they are face-to-face with a lot of customers. So take a grocery store cashier. The cashiers I interviewed said that in a typical work shift, they interact with 200 to 300 customers who work 2 feet from their face. When I've been speaking with, for instance, gig workers who are delivering meals or mail carriers that I've spoken to. I mean, there's a whole range of workers outside of the health field specifically. Bus drivers are a great example. These jobs are not just theoretically at risk. You're already seeing people dying in those jobs. And the other thing I would say is that I have a particular concern for lower wage workers, many of whom just to get to their job requires taking buses, public transportation, which are highly at risk. I spoke with a woman this morning. She's trying to support a family of six on her sole earnings, $12 an hour as a home health aide. She said taking a bus to work feels like you're taking a bus with a loaded gun and you don't know who's going to set it off. It's so scary. So even just getting to work for some folks who are essential carries risks.
And briefly, Molly, you also heard from people in that situation who, because they're lower income, have more densely populated households. They're more likely to have, say, an extended family, a grandparent, a parent, and kids in the same house. So if they do get sick, social distancing from their families is basically impossible.
That's absolutely correct. I've been talking with a lot of low-income workers whose stories are very similar. A lot of them are women, and they lived with multiple generations in their household. Because they're low wages, they cannot afford rent in cities like Washington, D.C., or in Baltimore, or in Richmond, or these different places where I'm interviewing them. And they're terrified that by going to work, because there's no choice for them. They don't qualify for unemployment if they're too afraid to go to work because of the virus. A lot of them have underlying health conditions. Their family members have had cancer. They have asthma. And by going to work to make these small paychecks just to keep themselves afloat, they're coming home to houses where they can, or apartments where they cannot safely social distance from the people they love the most.
We pick up our conversation with Molly Kinder from the Brookings Institution about how we compensate essential but low-wage workers during the COVID-19 pandemic. She says we should be considering some kind of hazard pay for many of these workers. You can join in with your thoughts and experiences at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's go to your calls now. Ryan is with us now in Menominee. Ryan, hello.
Hello. So I am a essential worker. I'm a satellite installer, which may not sound all that essential to some people, but apparently television and internet is important to people during this time at home when they're bored. I go into people's homes, go into businesses, that sort of thing, put on a lot of miles, see a lot of people in a day. But because of the COVID-19, people aren't calling in as much as they used to. So my paychecks have been, we get paid by the job, have been a third of what they were last year.
Interesting. So, Molly, thank you for sharing that call. Some risk there, but also people being hit by businesses being cut back, or business being cut back right about now, Molly. Is that something you're looking at yourself?
Yes, and in fact, a lot of my colleagues at Brookings are focusing specifically on the impact that this unprecedented pandemic is having on employment across the board. So not just, I've been focusing mostly on essential workers who are continuing in their jobs, but also a whole range of workers whose work is either ebbing, like we just heard from this caller, or disappearing entirely. And what really need to be some of the policy responses. I mean, I think what I have seen even from workers, I've interviewed some gig workers, for instance, who had similarly, their jobs have started to dry up because of the pandemic. People are staying home. They're not using the same services and businesses. So some folks have turned to the jobs that are still hiring, that are still in demand, even though there's some risk attached to some of them.
Thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Robert with us now in Toma. Robert, hi.
Hi. Where is that money going to come from? You know, that money has to come from somewhere, and that's the customer.
Robert, thanks for the call. So, yeah, the concern is if people have to be paid more, the business has to pay them. A small business maybe can't afford that cost. Ultimately, Molly, could be put along to consumers.
So my proposal that I published about a week ago suggested that this is a time for federal government support. So just like we're seeing all different types of major investments from the federal government through these initial stimulus bills in response to the pandemic, I think this is a clear case for federal government support. A lot of businesses and nonprofits that employ some of these essential workers, I mean, they're struggling right now. This is an unprecedented time. Consumers are also struggling, as your caller just identified. There are some industries where profits are booming. Stock prices are up in grocery, in big box retail, in pharmacy. And in those industries, I think it's a fair question is what is the responsibility as those profits go up to the workers who are the ones risking their lives. But there's a lot of other employees that do not have that benefit. And I believe that this is a moment when really society overall has to ask, what do we owe the workers who are keeping us all alive? who are risking everything for the rest of us. And I believe there's a strong case that can be made for federal support.
Thanks for the call, Robert. Ellen is with us next in Cedarburg. Ellen, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'm in Cedarburg. I live here, but I work in Milwaukee. I'm a home health care worker. I'm desperately needed at my client's house. My partner is also a frontline worker, as they call him, in the grocery business. They have thought of offering him and his fellow workers $2 an hour more for 2 weeks, which I consider an insult. My family is very worried about both of us catching it. I'm concerned about my client. I'm concerned that I could give the virus to her, and she is quite ill. I think that huge increases in wages are long due anyway. But for right now, with some businesses making so much more money and hiring so many people, instead of calling us heroes, I'd like to see people get decently paid, like some of the people you've mentioned with families and everything.
Ellen, thank you so much for sharing that story. I appreciate it. Molly?
I mean, I just love everything your caller just said. In fact, my next publication is going to be featuring home health workers, as well as the unsung heroes of hospitals. So the lower paid workers, not the doctors and nurses who definitely deserve all the credit they're getting, but the others who don't get the same limelight and frankly the same pay and benefits. But home health workers, I just want to take a moment to commend her for her heroic work, not just in this pandemic, but always. There are so many vulnerable, older, immunocompromised people who rely on home health workers to come to their home. If it wasn't for them at the front line, keeping them safe, showing them how to wash their hands, getting them their groceries so they don't have to go out, we'd have so many more people in hospitals, in ICUs right now, and so many more people perishing. And this is a workforce that is so chronically underpaid. Again, the workers I spoke to make as little as $9, $10, $11 an hour, often with no benefits at all, not even health insurance, as they're keeping other people alive. So I am all for increases right now during this pandemic to make sure that workers who are risking everything in these important roles make more now. But these are the kind of things that should be permanent. There's no reason why this incredibly important workforce is so underpaid. And I think this pandemic is shining a really harsh spotlight on this gap between the social value, the societal value that these workers bring, and that gap between what they're actually compensated. So I just want to second her statement that this is an issue it's bigger than the pandemic and should be addressed when this is all over as well.
Ellen, thanks for the call. We're talking to Molly Kinder from the Brookings Institution, looking at the idea of hazard pay for often low-paid essential workers, grocery stores, home health care workers, and many others. Back to your calls now. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hello.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you, Molly, for publicizing this issue. On the weekends, I work in a gas station, a convenience store, and my pay is $10 an hour. And I know that oil companies are making profit nowadays. The price of gasoline across northern Wisconsin is anywhere from $1.40 to $1.70 a gallon, and I heard it's half that. And down in Kenosha County, I heard it's less than a dollar. So I know the money's there with our employer, but they're not paying us anymore, and we don't get any benefits or additional pay for vacation. And during the week, I do deliveries in the electrical industry, and you know, I'm making my same rate of pay. There's nothing extra for that. So I appreciate your publicizing this issue.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Molly, do you, since you've put this out, are you hearing from people in more and more different types of work that are working still and exposed still to the illness?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think your caller is a perfect example. Gas stations, you know, folks who are working at a 7-Eleven or a convenience store. You know, we need these folks to keep working. I mean, CVS is one of the few places I still go for my needs. Gas station I was at the other day. This workforce in retail settings and grocery stores and pharmacies, there are millions of people employed in these jobs, and they don't have the benefits that I think they've long deserved. And we're really seeing that pain point right now as they're risking everything. And I think that the statement that there is money out there is correct. I do think there's definitely more space for companies to step up and really honor their workers and pay them more. And then I also think there is a very large justification for the federal government to do more. Just today, Governor Cuomo of New York expressed his support for federally mandated hazard pay of 50% for essential workers. There's a whole bunch of different Democratic senators who've put forth similar bills calling for different types of hazard pay, some as about 50%. There's another bill that suggests that every at-risk frontline worker should get an additional $13 an hour. So this idea is out there, and I'm pleased to be part of the conversation for why it really matters.
We'll leave it there for now. Molly, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. It was a pleasure, and it was really lovely to hear from your callers.
Molly Kinder is a fellow at the Brookings Institution, where her research focuses on low-wage workers. She was with us to talk about ideas for extending hazard pay and other benefits to essential workers during and after the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you so much for your calls. Sorry to everybody still on the line. We've had full phone lines all throughout this conversation. Thanks so much for sharing your stories. You can keep doing that, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page.